Does the Bank of England have a communications problem? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. That credibility question is one many investors here are asking today after the UK Central Bank shocked global markets yesterday when it opted to keep interest rates at an historic low amid rising inflation. That's despite weeks of hints from its own policymakers, including Governor Andrew Bailey, that rates should move higher. The central bank said it expects inflation to rise to 5% in the coming months, well above its 2% target. Today, though, Mr. Bailey told the BBC monetary policy is not a tool that can be used to combat all of the forces contributing to the rapid increase in consumer prices.
Well, inflation is clearly something that bites on people's household income, their real household income, and they will feel that. I'm sure they're already feeling that in terms of prices that are going up, and I'm very sorry that's happening. I mean, none of us want to see that happen. And we want to see the causes of inflation, which I say are, to a considerable degree, global and supply issues, tackled as soon as possible so that we can obviously get back to a world where inflation is stable and down at the target. And, as I've said a number of times, I have to be absolutely honest with everybody. Raising interest rates won't produce more gas. It won't produce more semiconductors. Where we have to use interest rates is when we see the potential for demand to rise or the potential for wage pressures to come into play, which could become self-perpetuating, and we will do that.
But after yesterday's surprise decision, the problem now is whether investors can trust what the Bank of England policymakers say before they act. If they can't, that could cause more financial market volatility, as Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell, explains.
I think it's a question that markets are asking themselves, and the pound went down quite sharply in response as a result, as markets had begun to gear themselves up for a possible rate rise. So I think markets are a little bit confused. I think one thing that the Bank of England is probably also worried about, like the US Federal Reserve, is that you have seen asset prices go up a lot, shares, bonds, houses, and central banks have done that intentionally to try and create what they call a wealth effect, so that people feel richer, they go out and spend the money, the profits they've made, or they borrow against the assets that they've got. And therefore, I guess they're worried about the opposite happening. If they do start to take away this cheap money that's potentially helped asset prices, maybe they're worried about the opposite effect kicking in. And if you do believe that we are seeing some asset bubbles, they'll be very, very wary of pricking them.
This mismatch in communication and actual action that we did see this week, it's sort of reminiscent of the so-called taper tantrum that we saw in the U.S. in 2013 when the Federal Reserve failed to follow through on its communication about when it would scale back its bond purchasing program. What is the risk now, though, for the Bank of England going forward?
I mean, that is always the danger. If you say something to a naughty child, I'll do this if you do that again next time, and then you don't do it, then they stop listening. And so I think in that respect, there is the danger that people listen to what they say but don't really take it on board, and that if they ever then did act, it would probably have double the effect, which isn't what they want. They're trying to do this as painlessly and calmly as they can. I certainly hope that they don't feel that they are prisoner of financial markets, because central banks are there to help manage the economy, not financial markets. And I hope that's a trap in which they don't fall or they find themselves in.
Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, UK 10-year government bond yields, which move inversely to prices, are at a one-month low today. That's after that surprise Bank of England decision yesterday. Still, the wider FTSE 100 share index is up 0.4%, helped by gains in the banking and healthcare sectors. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is little changed. Benchmarks in Asia ended lower amid ongoing concerns about the stability of China's property sector. And U.S. stock futures are flat ahead of the highly anticipated October jobs report. To Belize now, where ocean conservation has become a key part of a $553 million debt restructuring. With the help of the Nature Conservancy, the Central American country has agreed to buy back an international bond at a large discount and use the money to fund marine conservation projects. Julie Robinson, the Belize program director at the Nature Conservancy, explains how the so-called blue bond works.
So it's very large, it's very complex, because there are a number of different aspects to this deal. First, there is the refinancing of the super bond, which is a $553 million debt. Then that is then transferred over to blue bonds, and we're getting the financing from that through Credit Suisse. The other side of that is a conservation finance agreement between TNC and the government, whereby they agree to a suite of conservation commitments in exchange for making payments from the savings from the restructuring of the bond. Those payments will then go towards a conservation fund that will be paid in local currency and will go towards the implementation of those conservation commitments. And as well, a third component of that is the capitalization of an endowment fund. So at the end of the term, it's a 20-year term for the loan. At the end of that term, the proceeds from the endowment will kick in to fund conservation in perpetuity.
So really the big difference here is that the government is agreeing to those conservation commitments as part of this restructuring. Is that right? Normally, when a country goes to restructure its debt, that it isn't necessarily mandated to put those proceeds to work in any specific place. They can sort of use the money as they want to.
Precisely. And it's not only about the commitments, but it's also about making payments locally. What the government is doing by agreeing to this is that an average of $4.2 million per year will be paid into our local economy in order to achieve conservation. So there is also that added benefit.
It's fascinating stuff. Julie Robinson from the Nature Conservancy. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.